is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message, already in progress, by Reverend Joseph Garner.
heavens he came down. Oh, what a joy I found. And I know you will not tell. So you don't know when or where.
Right.
What the Lord has done for me.
Yeah.
He gave me the victory. I'm a believer.
All right.
Yeah. I'm a believer. Say yes.
Yes, I'm a believer. Wow.
There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. Some of y'all act like you don't know him. You live long enough and have friends to walk out on you. Folk that you told all your business to. You forgot that mad day comes. Folk fall out and put all your business in the streets. But is there anybody here glad to have a friend like Jesus? You can tell him all of your stuff and you ain't got to worry about him telling nobody. Come on, just whisper that. He's mine. Come on. He's my friend. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's mine. He's mine. choir. God bless you. Amen. He is. He is my friend. Father, we thank you for this preaching privilege. And God, we ask that you would speak a word into the hearts and into the minds of your people. A word that will remind us that you are a friend. Sticks closer than a brother. The kind of friend that was willing to die in our place. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with us to the book of Matthew chapter 17. Amen. Matthew chapter 17. If there is a word from the Lord, we will commence reading at verse 14 and read through verse 21. But before we read our scripture text before us, let me say again, thank God for all of our ministers. And again, thank God for all of you, the people of God, who occupy this, the house of prayer, on this Sunday morning. So happy to see your bright and smiling faces in the church. Amen. Y'all look kind of like David when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Y'all do know that there were some folk who wished they could be in a church house, but conditions are such that they can't. So, amen. Thank God for you. So happy to see Sister DeGray here this morning. After being involved in a car accident, and we have been lifting you up in prayer. And we're happy to see you here on today. Amen. Now, before we read our scripture text, I want to remind you, Pleasant Hill, that we will start on tonight, our Vernon Ministerial Association, for which I'm honored to serve as the president, we kick off our citywide revival tonight. Tonight is our musical. And how did the rehearsal go? On Monday, amen. And so our choir will be singing on tonight, as well as choirs from other churches. And then they will all come together for finale at the end of the musical on tonight. That's at 7 o'clock at Johnson Temple. Which is right down the road, down the way. Amen. 7 o'clock tonight. And then starting tomorrow at noon, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we will have our noonday devotionals. And they will be held at the Preach for the Right Church, which is in Nulano, 349 some street right there in Nulano. I can't remember the name of the street. Vernon Street. Amen. Every day this week at noon for 1 hour, one of our local pastors will be leading in the devotionals. Now, don't look for me there, because as the host leader for this, I'll be entertaining our guest evangelists each day, and they like to eat at noon. Amen. But we will definitely be in prayer with you, and we hope y'all will be there for that. But then also, starting tomorrow night, right here at the place where God blesses his people, our revival will kick off in a mighty way. We have Dr. William T. Glenn, pastor of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Fort Worth, Texas. He's one of this nation's greatest preachers. And he will be with us Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 7 o'clock here each night. And we hope to see you here. Sister Eddington, God bless you. I saw you somewhere. Where's Sister Alice? Where is she? Amen. God bless you. I hate to call you out, but I saw her this week. At City Hall, and she said, Pastor, she told me about a testimony, a word of knowledge that was spoken into her life, and she said she was going to listen. And I said these words to her, don't take that lightly. Amen. When God sends someone into your life to give you a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, it's best to take it seriously. And she said, I'll be there tomorrow. I'll be there Sunday and at the revival. And she's here, so God bless you. I want you to know that God is honored by your obedience. Now, we have embarked upon a study in Bible study from this book that is entitled, I Am a Church Member. The book is written by Mr. Tom S. Rainer. And it's all about, because what I figured out through 24 years of pastoring is that everybody in the church knows the pastor's job description. Folk know what pastor is supposed to do. And folk know, amen, what pastor ain't doing, amen. Pastor should be doing this, and pastor, amen. Everybody knows what the pastor's job description is. But I have discovered that when, while many folk are pointing fingers at what the pastor is or is not doing, this question comes to my mind: do you know what your responsibilities are as a church member? And maybe I'm bursting somebody's bubble, but you didn't know you had any responsibilities. You thought all you needed to do was come and warm a pew, a spot on the pew, but you have more responsibilities than that. Amen? And so I really believe in my heart and in my mind that this study is going to not only bless us individually, but I believe that this study will bless us collectively. Because when you understand that you have responsibilities and rights as a church member, you, amen, ought to be, somebody said, once you know better, you ought to what?
Do better.
You ought to do better. The subtitle of the book is Discovering the Attitude That Makes the Difference. And let me tell you something, if we want growth in our church, yes, there's a lot of responsibility laid upon the shoulders of the pastor for church growth. But every member has responsibility, amen, to grow the church. Because guess what? If you have a bad attitude, when a new member comes in, thank you, ushers, God bless y'all, thank y'all so much. Or when a visitor comes in, and if they have the misfortune of sitting next to you with your bad attitude, they will, amen, not feel compelled to come back again. So we want y'all to participate, and so many times we find ourselves preaching to the choir. And I don't want to be preaching to the choir. I want to be preaching to, if you are a member of Pleasant Hill, right, let me say this first and foremost. Get the book.
Yeah.
Amen. I think we have 7 or 8 left in the office there. They're only $5, so you don't have an excuse. Some of you pay more for a pack of cigarettes than $5. Amen. All right. I eat hamburgers that cost more than $5. Amen. So I want you to get the book, read the book. But not only that, I want to encourage you to come out on Wednesday nights at 7 and be a part of this great study on I Am a Church Member. The first chapter of the book is entitled, I Will Be a Functioning Church Member. Amen. If we can just get you through chapter 1. Amen. Where you're able to say at the end of the day, I may not be all that other stuff Tom Rainer is talking about, but at least I am a functioning church member. That's half the battle. Amen. Because if you're a functioning church member, then chances are there's something about your life that is able to impact the lives of others for the kingdom of God. Amen. And for church growth. So this message today is somewhat centered around the theme of this first chapter, I am a functioning church member. And so I want us in the book of Matthew chapter 17, let's look at this and see how it might encourage all of us to be functioning church members. Matthew 17, let's start at verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Some of y'all wondering why your child acts so crazy. I'm just saying. Verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart, and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto him, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Amen. I want to talk from the subject, and you'll understand that after I give the introduction, this illustration that many of you have heard many times, this illustration. This is a new sermon, but there's an old illustration I want to use to kind of drive home the point that I'm making today. The title of this message is "The Power Is Not in the Light Bulb." The power is not in the light bulb. And some of y'all already know the illustration I'm going to use. Amen. Several years ago, I guess about 3 or 4 years into my becoming pastor of this church, we invited an evangelist from Africa. He told us to call him Dr. Z because nobody could pronounce his last name, but I like a challenge, and so I've mastered his last name, and so I like saying it as often as I can. His name is Dr. Eliezer Zeherembere.
All right.
Dr. Eliezer Zeherembere. And Dr. Z, he, in one of his messages, he told us how that in his home, which was in the city, he had electricity, and he had lights, amen, in his home in the city. And he said that his family that lived out in the jungle had an occasion to come and visit him in the city. They'd never been to the city. They'd never seen all of the stuff that the city had to offer. Dr. Zeherembere said they came to his house and they were fascinated by the light bulbs. They were fascinated because all the light that they were familiar with was either fire or some candle or something, or the sun. But they said, "You've got light in your home." And they were just blown away by that. And so Dr. Eliezer Zeherembere said that when they got ready to leave to go back to the jungle, they begged of him, "Please let us have some of these light bulbs so we can take them back to the jungle." And he said, "Okay, I'll give them to you." He gave them the light bulbs, gave them 5 or 6, amen. They went back to the jungle. They hung them up in the hut, and y'all already know what happened, don't you? They wrote him a letter. They said, "Eliezer, there's a problem." They said, "We hung the light bulbs up just as you have them hung up in your home." They said, "But we get no light." And he said, "The reason they get no light is because they have to be connected to a power source." Is there anybody here today who can appreciate the fact that if you're going to be a functioning church member, if you're going to be the kind of child of the King that God wants you to be, you need, tell your neighbor, you need to be connected to the power source. Amen. And so I want to just share with you today that the power is not in the light bulb. The magic is not in the light bulb. It is what is behind the light bulb that gives the light. The light bulb can be made of diamonds, it can be made of crystal, but if it's not attached to a power source, tell your neighbor, it's useless. The magic is not in the light bulb. The power comes from what is behind the light bulb. Things that are not visible to the human eye, but are there nonetheless. If the electricity or the wiring are ever out of service, the light bulb is useless. It is what is behind the light bulb that gives it its power. The first thing I want to say to you this morning is this: the light bulb is necessary to get the light to where it needs to be. Talking about being a functioning church member, I don't get it twisted. Amen. God needs you. Amen. God needs us. Amen. Amen. And so the first point I want to drive home to you is that the light bulb is necessary to get the light where it needs to be. I don't want to minimize the importance of a vessel. Point to yourself and say, "I'm a vessel." God needs light bulbs. God has always worked through human vessels. In fact, most of the time, God works through the most unlikely vessels. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Amen. I'm one. And if you'd be honest, you're one of them too. But thank God he can use anybody. Somebody should have said amen. Thank God he can use anybody. Oh, y'all haven't been reading your Bible. Because if you read your Bible, you know that Moses stuttered. You know that David's armor didn't fit. You know that John Mark was rejected by Paul. You know that Timothy had ulcers. You know that Amos's only training was in the school of fig tree pruning. If you knew the Bible, you'd know that God used a liar like Jacob. David had an affair. Solomon was too rich. Abraham was too old. David was too young. Peter was afraid of death. Lazarus was dead. John was self-righteous. Naomi was a widow. Paul was a murderer. Moses was a murderer. Jonah ran from God. Here's some of y'all. Miriam was a gossip. Gideon and Thomas both doubted God. Jeremiah was depressed and suicidal. Elijah was burnt out. Martha was a worrywart. Mary was probably lazy. Samson had long hair. Noah got drunk. And that's not all. Did I mention Moses had a temper? But God, somebody ought to be thankful that God doesn't require a job interview. Somebody ought to be glad that he doesn't hire and fire like some of our bosses. Amen? Because he's more than our boss. He's our father. Aren't you glad he doesn't have to look at your tax return to determine whether or not you can work for him? Come on, is there anybody here who's glad to know that God ain't got to check your credit and check your, oh my, because some of us would be in trouble if it was dependent on a FICO score as to whether or not we could worship and serve God. Somebody ought to give him praise in this place just because he can use anybody. So let's make it very clear that I'm talking to everybody in this room. From the guttermost to the utmost, God can use you. From the rich to the poor, God can use you. From the smart to the not so smart, God can use you. From the handsome to the not so handsome, God can use you. Is there anybody here today who's glad to know that you are a vessel that God can use? He's not prejudiced, he's not partial, he's not judging, he's not grudging. If you will just make yourself